It's philosophy talk.
By definition, legally, a work of art cannot be obscene if obscenity means that it has no serious artistic value.
Is there a thin line between art and obscenity?
Can obscene stuff ever have any serious artistic value?
The whole idea of an avant-garde in art is something that is cutting edge and transgressive.
Where is the line that divides genuine art from mere obscenity?
Maybe it's the role of the artist to challenge what we think we know when we see it.
Our guest is Richard Meyer, author of What Was Contemporary Art?
Do we actually necessarily know obscenity when we see it if the definition of what is unfit to be seen changes over time?
Should art always be subversive?
Art and obscenity. Coming up on Philosophy Talk.
This is Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence. I'm John Perry.
And I'm Ken Taylor. We're coming to you from the Marsh Theater in Berkeley, the Bay Area's breeding ground for new performance.
Our thinking originates at Philosopher's Corner on the Stanford campus across the bay. That's where Ken and I are teachers of philosophy.
Welcome, everyone, to Philosophy Talk. Now, today, we're thinking about art and obscenity.
Specifically, we're thinking about how art sometimes intersects with obscenity, and why an artist might choose to create a work that is, in fact, obscene.
Well, John, why don't we probably should start with saying what we mean by obscene first, don't you think?
Sure. The Supreme Court defines obscenity for us. Any material which appeals to a prurient interest in sex, which portrays sexual conduct in a patently offensive way, and finally, which has no serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value.
Yeah, no serious artistic value? That's weird, because if the Supreme Court is right, then art, by definition, could never be obscene.
Well, this is the same Supreme Court that declared corporations to be people. So maybe we shouldn't get too hung up on their definition of much of anything. Maybe it would be better to start off by considering a work of art that is, or at least maybe more interestingly, one that at some historical time was considered obscene.
Well, that's a good idea. You know, a piece comes immediately to mind. That's Marcel Duchamp's Fountain, which is just a common variety porcelain urinal. You know, he tried unsuccessfully to enter it into an exhibition in New York in 1917. You know, at the time, though, people called the work vulgar, immoral, indecent. Some said the work had no artistic merit whatsoever.
Well, my theory always was that Duchamp had a deadline, and the night before the deadline, he hit his sculpture a little harder with a hammer, and he thought, God, what am I going to do now? But maybe not. Anyway, Duchamp is now credited with having changed modern art forever by using a ready-made object instead of painstakingly creating the work with his own two hands. In one bold, if lazy move, Duchamp invented what we call conceptual art.
Now, you know, I can kind of get, given the mores of the time, why people were up in arms about that work back in 1917. But, you know, if you compare Duchamp's Fountain to more recent controversial works, it seems pretty tame, you know.
Artists like Damien Hirst, who dissects huge animals and then displays them in formaldehyde. Or Andre Serrano, who took some pretty gruesome and gory photos of dead people, dead bodies, in a morgue and then displayed them.
I thought you were going to, you left out Serrano's most notorious work. Some might say his most offensive is a photo he took of a crucifix floating in, now get this, his own urine. Now, even the name of it is considered too obscene to even say on the radio.
Yeah, give it another couple of decades, and Serrano's work will be tame. It'll be quaint. It'll probably be in the introductory course at the Catholic girls' school on art. You know, what people tend to find obscene or shocking eventually changes over time. Impressionism, everybody's favorite and safest art form, was once considered offensive.
I get your point, John. I do get your point. But you got to admit that with all this shock art these days that's so trendy, there is a danger. I think there's a real danger that we're going to cross a line. That's what the Supreme Court was trying to do. It was trying to articulate where that line is that divides genuine art from mere obscenity. There has to be such a line. Otherwise, anything goes in art.
Ken, you want lawyers and judges, even such august judges as our Supreme Court, to decide what counts as genuine art? You want the law to dictate what artists can and can't do?
Oh, John, come off your holy high horse there. The law already says an artist can't torture and kill another human being in the name of art. You can't do that.
Okay. Artists are not allowed to torture and kill. Duh. But what has that got to do with our topic? What's that got to do with shock art? Shock art doesn't kill anyone. It transgresses not the law, it transgresses conventions, mere conventions. And that's what artists not only have the right to do, they have a duty to do that.
So you actually do think that anything goes as far as art's concerned? Look, if I stick a turd on a plate and call it dinner, would you think that was art?
Well, I would rather call it art than dinner. And I suspect if you think you're being avant-garde, you're probably about 52 years late. Somebody surely already thought of that. If it offends you so much, don't look at it. Or in this case, don't sniff at it.
Well, look, our roving philosophical reporter, Caitlin Ash, I'm sure isn't as easily offended as me. So we sent her to an art museum to find controversial and offensive works of art. She files this report.
There's a sculpture of a crucified frog by the late German artist Martin Kippenberger.
So he made a sculpture, which I was exhibiting here, of a frog holding a liter beer mug, his arms outstretched.
Bruce Gunther is the chief curator at the Portland Art Museum in Oregon. He says the frog's arms are nailed to an easel that looks like a cross. Pope Benedict XVI condemned the work of art, saying it, quote, injured the religious feelings of many, end quote. It caused quite a stir among Christians around Portland.
It was a flurry of reaction. The press office begged that we never do that again because they had over 3,500 emails.
People called and people emailed, demanding the museum remove the offending sculpture. Gunther believes the work was misunderstood.
Where did this object fit inside of the traditional notion of Christ on the cross, an image of reverence and resurrection, and this frog, which appeared to be on a cross, but was in fact the artist crucified in his practice, the artist on a painting easel?
The artist Kippenberger made the sculpture in response to professional and personal criticism. See, Kippenberger was an alcoholic. Supporters defend the work as the self-portrait of an artist in crisis. But perhaps the most contentious piece of artwork Bruce Gunther has ever displayed was The Bear Chair by Nancy Redden Keenholz and Ed Keenholz.
It was a work that was highly controversial because they had taken on sexual abuse of children.
It sparked outrage. Here are just a few comments from Facebook.
It should make any adult with any morals completely sick to their stomach.
I truly didn't expect to be revolted at the Portland Art Museum, but I walked around a corner where there were two young girls looking sick. They said that is disturbing.
As a grandmother and mental health counselor for 29 years, I will not be bringing my grandson like I was planning to do. This art is abusive to children and adults alike. I am disgusted.
The bear chair is an assemblage of familiar objects, a teddy bear, a doll.
To see them in a context, horrific, abusive, obscene, was important.
The doll is tied to a chair, her underwear around her ankles. The bear towers over her with a depiction of a human penis pointed at her.
The text on the top of the vanity says, "If you tell anyone, I'll hurt your mama real bad."
Gunther says it's disturbing, and that's the point. The museum put up a warning sign, but many people marched past without reading it.
They came around the corner, and some people were appalled that and thought the museum was promoting child abuse. Hard for me to understand that as a curator, because I saw the work as a powerful indictment.
Some called the work obscene and demanded the museum take it down. Gunther refused. He says he's proud of the dialogue ignited by the work.
I live in a world and I live a life in which art is never neutral. And I feel I've failed if people don't take notice of what they're looking at. They're not touched by what they're looking at. So if there's no comment, I think it is a failure. If there's no response or reaction, it's somehow a failure.
The bear chair remained in the museum for a year. Gunther saw it as a profound criticism, not just of sex abusers, but of a society that stands by as children are abused and silences its victims.
I don't think great art has any relationship to obscenity. Art in and of itself exists both in its own time and in our present experience of it. And we bring our associated ideas, phobias, insecurities, and wrap the artwork in them.
For Philosophy Talk, I'm Caitlin Ashe.